Thank God for Bitcoin podcast. My name is Jordan Bush. I'm the head of content and education for TGFB Media. And today I have the privilege to sit down with Andy Schoonover. Andy is the CEO and founder of Crowd Health. It's a company that coordinates a peer-to-peer network for funding healthcare expenses. Andy, welcome to the Thank God for Bitcoin podcast.
Thanks for having me, man.
I'm glad to have you here. We've been friends for a couple years now. And I really wanted to have you on the podcast to kind of talk about just how Bitcoin is being used to affect the healthcare industry. Before we get into that, I'd love for you to share kind of just your background. What's your story? How did you end up at this point doing this?
Sure. I think we originally met at Thank God for Bitcoin, not this year, but last year. So, and you asked me to be on a panel, which I am very much appreciative of, but you always stuck me with like the most popular people. It's like me with 2,000, you know, followers on Twitter, and Zuby, who's got like 1.5 million followers on Twitter.
Well, yeah.
I got to up my game, but no, thanks for, again, for having me. My story, I am originally from, the Midwest, lived a bunch of years on the East Coast, spend some time on the West Coast. So I kind of say, you know, the Midwest values, the East Coast drive, and the West Coast spirit.
Let's go.
So that's kind of, and now I'm in Texas. So I don't know how it's the Southern hospitality, maybe?
Sure.
Maybe add that to it? Yeah. So have kind of lived all over the country. Grew up Catholic.
Yep.
And can't say I really came to know the Lord until I was in my mid-30s. Yep. So I was a little bit of a late bloomer. And I met a cute girl, and she was going to church, and I was like, sure, I'll go to church with you.
Yeah. Yep.
So it was a good Bible church up in Cincinnati.
Okay.
And met her, and yeah, and just, you know, fell in love with the Lord through that. And you know, what had some ups and downs, I think a lot of new believers do. You know, finally got married, and that took me a while too. Got married kind of late. I was 40 when I got married, and my wife, not to get into too much detail here, you can stop me if
no, you're good, go for it.
But my wife got pregnant right after we got married, and we found out at our 12-week ultrasound that our daughter had a fatal condition. So we were just, you know, as you can imagine, like your first, and the doctor shows up and says, fatal condition, terminate and try again, you know. And that was just not something that we had even considered, and nor did we really consider it, because we just, you know, looked at that 12-week ultrasound, and it's for us a beautiful, you know, baby. And so Grace is her name. Wasn't supposed to make it to birth, but she did, thank God. And we spent 10.5 hours with her before she passed away, and so that was an incredibly defining moment of my life. And it was the first time that I really felt like the comfort of the Lord. Because I feel like you can go a couple different ways when that happens. You can say, hey, how can you allow this to happen? Well, you know, I believe, and I think you do too, you know, everything passes by, you know, God's desk, and he could quickly stop it if he wanted to. And this one he let, you know, happen. And, but you know, we were just so comforted. And our quick story is, Grace passed away, and we left the hospital, and we came home, and, you know, the enemy really started attacking in terms of just the stupid thoughts that go through your brain. And this one, the one that really was kept recurring was, weird enough, did we tell her that we loved her enough? Like, what a hard thing to think about as a parent, you know? And it was like, why did you even think about that? But, you know, I had a dream that night where I was Grace looking up at me and Steph hovering over her. And, I just felt this like incredible sense of love that just went all the way through my body,
man.
And like something that I had never felt before.
Wow.
And so I was like, man, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, we got multiple stories like that. They're just over and over and over again. Like, he was just like, I'm going to comfort you.
Yeah.
You know? And so that just so strengthened my faith. And, so we did that happened. And then I did ministry for actually a couple years.
Okay.
And, then we started having kids. You know, thank God we had two healthy girls.
Yeah.
So I'm a girl dad.
Yeah.
and through that, I had to go get health insurance, because I guess all parents have to get health insurance, right?
Yeah.
And so I went to healthcare.gov and got a plan that I'm sure many of the listeners kind of get. It's like $1,200 a month or something like that. And you're just like, geez. But I joke, it worked until I had to use it. My little one, who is one at the time, was having recurring ear infections, and so we went to the ear, nose, and throat doc, and he said she's got a hole in her ear, and I'm like, oh, okay. So we need to get tubes in her ears, and so we made an appointment at the hospital, went and got tubes in her ears, a 15-minute appointment, and we got the bill in the mail, and it was $8,000.
So,
and I was like, how can a 15-minute procedure be $8,000? It was just crazy. And so, and then to make things worse, we got another bill, or a note in the mail a few weeks later, that said that it was medically unnecessary. And so my health insurance plan wouldn't pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh, this whole long story getting to crowd health, but you know, in essence, what I did is like, man, health insurance is broken.
Yeah.
It's impacting a lot of people.
Yeah.
A couple hundred thousand families go bankrupt every year, even though they have health insurance due to healthcare events. And so I started a company called Crowd Health, and we can get into more what that's about, but it's a mission for me to really give people a true alternative to the kind of medical industrial complex led health insurance companies.
Yeah. And so what does it look like? What is the actual product that you guys offer? What does it actually look like in terms of, I have a health event, you know, how does that work?
Yeah. So, you know, when my wife and I quit health insurance, we were like, okay, well, how are we going to do this? So let's start building some tools that allow us to do this. Like, oh, by the way, you can negotiate with the hospital.
Yeah.
And you can actually negotiate a lot better with the hospital if you're uninsured. It's like, okay, we can negotiate. You can see a virtual primary care doctor for like $39 or something like that. And so it's like, okay, well, let's do that. And so we start building these tools, and we're like, okay, you know, maybe other people would want these. And that's where Crowd Health came from. But most people, like you asked, is, okay, well, what about the big one?
Yeah.
You know, because those are the ones that are scary.
Yeah.
And so we've got thousands of people across the country who are willing to help Jordan with his broken arm.
Yeah.
So if you have a broken arm and it's $5,000, we'll ask you to pay the first $500 of it. The $4,500 will go to, you know, 90 people and ask them for $50 each. I think I did that math right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we go to 90 people and we say, Jordan broke his arm. He's been a good member of the community because he's helping other people when when he's been asked. And so you can say yes or no to that. And if you say yes, then money goes directly from my account to, you know, Andy's individual account to Jordan's account. And you ultimately end up with enough money to then pay for your broken arm. So it's a peer-to-peer funding of healthcare expenses, as opposed to sending a premium to a health insurance plan and let them decide.
Yeah.
I'm actually sending money directly to the person who needs help.
And so that money, so like there's an amount that the customer is paying every month that goes to you guys, and what happens with that money? Is it sitting in an account, or does it go to Crowd Health, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we actually, there's two invoices per month. One is just $50, and that goes directly to Crowd Health. Mm-hmm. It's what we use to pay our bills.
Yeah.
The second one is, if you're a single person, it's up to an additional $125.
Okay.
Lately, we've been around the $60 or $65 level, so we haven't even asked you for $125.
Yeah.
And that's the money that goes directly from your account to whoever needs help's account. You know, and this is what I think, you know, kind of brings in some of these biblical principles, which is, you know, love your neighbor.
Yeah.
You know, we used to, hundreds of years ago in our society, we were semi-responsible for the well-being of our neighbor.
Yes.
And especially within kind of, you know, healthcare and work and things like, if you're in an agricultural community and somebody, you know, got hurt, like the entire community would come around.
They would
pull together. They would, you know, plow your fields or whatever that is and help. And so the government, and in my case, health insurance companies, have stuck themselves in between us and our neighbors. And so I think we're losing that sense of community.
Yep.
And so we're trying to bring that back. And it's like, I'm paying directly for somebody else's expenses. And there's a beauty of that. I think there's a humanity in that.
100%. Yeah, it's easy to want to look to a big institution to kind of step in and save you when you have something like that. Mm-hmm. And yet that's not how things work in every other way. Like, God has designed us to be, you know, willing to step in and take responsibility for our neighbors', you know, needs.
Absolutely.
And so I forgot to mention this. I'm a customer of Crowd Health. Yeah. I love what you guys do. One of the craziest things that's been happening the past couple months or past few months has been that, you know, you guys have reached out and said to the community, hey, we haven't had any big events. So you've like dropped the monthly amount that you guys require us to give. And so that's been something that, you know, that would never happen within a typical insurance situation. That is just not going to happen. They would pocket that and then use that as like,
We're like, you keep it in your account. We don't want to keep it in our account. You keep it in your account and, you know, invest in Bitcoin or take your wife out to dinner or whatever it ends up being. You can do whatever you want with it.
Sure. And so this is, so that that kind of brings us to a natural, you know, transition point of what does Bitcoin have to do with this? I mean, how did you get into Bitcoin? Let me ask that.
Yeah.
And we can talk about what does that have to do with CrowdElf?
Yeah, our mutual friend Jimmy Song orange pilled me a few years ago. And in fact, it was about 10 years ago-ish where, you know, I heard about this digital money currency something called Bitcoin. And I was talking to my buddy. I was like, you know what? Like, we should just invest a little bit. Like, let's just put 10 grand into it and just see what happens. You know, if it takes off, then great.
Yeah.
You make a bunch of money. If it doesn't, then, you know, that hurt. That sucks. But, you know, it won't be that big a deal. He's like, dude, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. Which is a lot of what people say to even today, 10 years later. But Bitcoin, that is so, what are you guys doing? And so I didn't invest. I'm like, dude, every time I see him, I was like, dude. So, I wasn't really kind of orange pilled though until I talked to Jimmy and I was telling him about this idea I had about this company and this alternative to health insurance. And at the time I was talking about, oh, well, you know, we could individually kind of pool money together and do a little bit different from health insurance. He's like, dude, one of the problems that you have with health insurance is they hold this huge pile of fiat in an account that is depreciating over time. Mm. And, you know, so therefore their rates have to go up to make up for that loss of value.
Sure.
And so why don't instead you hold it in Bitcoin? And I'm like, ooh, that sounds kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
And he kind of talked me through what Bitcoin was and, you know, a limited amount, it will never grow more. There's no inflation, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, man, that's so cool. And so we started incorporating it into our model and really have started reaching out to Bitcoiners because that is something that, you know, the health care space looks a lot like the monetary space just in terms of the amount that the government screws it up.
Yeah. What are some of the things that maybe the average person just doesn't understand about how healthcare works that are, again, putting roadblocks between people and the care that they're receiving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, people always ask, the number one question I get is, why do healthcare expenses keep going up?
Yeah.
And I said, it's not that hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the industry wants you to make it think it's complex so that you don't try to, you know,
fix it
or even question it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
And so you have a buyer of healthcare and a seller of healthcare, right? The seller of healthcare are these big hospital systems.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly want the price to go up, right? They want to get as much for, and I don't have a problem with that. Like, it's free market, whatever. But the problem is that the buyers of healthcare are these health insurance plans.
Mm.
You know, they are supposed to be our agent to help us get the best prices. But in fact, what happens is they are mandated by the government to only pull out 15% of premiums for profit.
Okay.
So from the outside looking in, I was like, great, you know, the health insurance plans can't, you know, take us for granted or whatever. But here's the problem. We'll do easy math here. So if I have a $1,000 premium, the health insurance plan can only make $150.
Mm.
So how do they make $165? They have to increase the premium from $1,000 to $1,100. Mm. So they actually have an incentive for our premiums to go up, not to go down. Yep. So we have a principal agent problem here where, you know, we're the principals, they're our agents, and they are not acting on our behalf.
Yeah.
And so over the long term, they actually have an incentive for us to be sick and for healthcare costs to go up.
Yeah.
Over the short term in the year, they actually have an incentive to maximize up to that 15%.
Sure.
And so what do? Is they deny claims.
Yes.
So
this is what you experienced.
And I was one of them. And I was one of them. You know, and so I think this is a 2022 number. It might be a 2021 number, but 46 million claims on healthcare.gov were denied in 2022. 46 million, right?
That and so unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I was one of them. And a lot of times, allegedly, this is currently in the courts, they would just blanket deny because the stats are that very few people try to come back and fight it.
Exactly.
And so they just blanket deny it and hope that you come back and, or you don't come back and question it. So there's perverse incentives within our system. That's the big one that really mess a lot of things up.
Okay. And so in terms of, I mean, when I look at the healthcare system, I see a lot of, I mean, a lot of the expenses going up are because, I mean, one of the results of we're getting sick more and you're getting sick with more costly things because of the food that you're eating. And so have you seen, I mean, what do you guys, I mean, I'll just say one of the things I've experienced is that you guys are way more invested in my health than an insurance company that I had ever was. And one of the ways it's borne out is you guys, I can't remember who was the doctor who's you guys were giving anyone who wanted one, you would send out one of somebody's books a couple months ago.
Yeah. Two doctors that we really like, Peter Attia, who is here in Austin, actually.
Okay.
And he's got a book on longevity.
Okay.
And so, like, look.
So, stay off my hospital table.
That's Dr. Avedia, which is the other one. So, Dr. Philip Avedia would just stay off my operating table, is a cardiac surgeon.
Gotcha.
Who talks a lot about heart health.
Okay.
And so, like, we give away books almost every month to people to say, hey, listen, like, read these. Get more educated about how your body works.
Sure.
Because the medical industrial complex, which controls the media, because they're the number one advertiser on most of these media stations, pharma specifically, don't want to talk about this. They don't talk about this because they're going to piss off all their advertisers.
Sure,
so
exactly.
The entire system is set up to make us sick.
Yeah.
Because they profit off of that.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make a system that was like, look, you pay us $50 a month. You know, we now have an incentive to keep you healthy.
Yeah.
For as long as you can.
Sure.
And we think that's the right incentive system.
Yeah. No, 100%. And so just for people who are listening to this, what are some of the ways, like what does it look like to file a claim? So I go to the hospital and, you know, how do I find a doctor?
Yep.
Or I know on a lot of insurance plans, you're limited in the doctors you can go to. Is that what things look like with crowd health or what is it?
No, not limited at all.
Okay.
And in fact, one of the things I hated about health insurance, especially when my situation that I mentioned to you is like, I'd call in, I'd talk to somebody who may or may not even be in the United States. Like I'd tell them my whole story. And they're like, yeah, I'll get back to you. And they never get back to you.
Sure.
You have to call again. You have to answer. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it drives me nuts.
Yep.
We have a small team. We have a team of two people that you are assigned to at Crowd Health.
Okay.
Every time you talk to somebody at Crowd Health about your bill, it's going to be the one or two people.
Yeah.
So we get to know who you are and
sure.
how, you know, those things. So that's really important.
Yep.
So you don't have to like wonder what's going on. Just call your care advocate. You can text them. You can call them.
Cool.
You can email them. Super easy. And then if you have something like big, let's say you have an ER visit, you go out of the hospital. Good thing is they don't send you the bills for 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
Aggregate those bills. You go to our app. You take a picture of the bill. And then we validate the bill. We will then negotiate the bill for you.
Yeah.
So let's just say it's a big one, $50,000 ER bill. We'll actually negotiate the bill on your behalf.
Yeah.
And then once we negotiate it down, then we'll send it out to the community and say, Jordan has a $15,000 bill because we were able to negotiate it down a bunch. And, you know, will you all help him with that bill? We've done that 7,000 times.
That's amazing. And so like with that kind of thing, you like for privacy, like you're not giving last names. You'll first name. So again, so you're
not even first name. We just tell you
just a
person. We say a male or female in Austin, Texas.
Sure.
So we don't, we're super, focused on privacy and protective, especially with a bunch of Bitcoiners. They don't like anything, you know? And so we don't give away names.
Okay. As far as doctors, like how do you find, it's just any doctor you can go to or?
Yeah, any doctor you want. And if you don't know, you know, a doctor, let's just say, you know, I got a bunch of kids, a pediatrician. Yeah. Actually, this is actually a real story. So somebody in Austin, I live in Austin, who lives a couple streets away from me, funny enough, called in and said, hey, I'm looking for a pediatrician in 78746, which is where I live. And so what we do internally is we ask other people in 78746 or the surrounding zip codes.
Other crowd health members.
Hey, do you know a great pediatrician in 78746? And so they asked me. And I was like, yeah, we've got this great pediatrician. We love this one. This one's okay. You know, there's a couple in the practice. You should try that one.
Okay.
You know, it's reasonably priced. They'll take cash. Da, 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 da. So we actually crowdsource doctors from our people. And you might think that's like a pain, but I was like so excited that I was able to tell somebody else,
sure,
you know, about the doctor that I love,
yeah,
in 78746.
Well, and like, and you had the best case scenario, right? You had somebody who really did recommend, but it could work the opposite way where you're like, hey, avoid this
or
place.
Avoid
like
this. Yeah, totally. So we have a lot of feedback between our members internally. So if you want a doctor, you can go whatever doctor you want. If you want a doctor, like a recommendation or something, we will crowdsource that. Or if somebody has gone to a doctor in that location already, we have a database,
sure,
also. So we're like, hey, this person went to this doctor and they rated them 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
And here it was a great price. And so you should go and try that. So
sure,
there's a number of ways that we do that.
And so, I mean, I'm sure there's people who are sitting there listening to this and they're thinking, okay, so they're negotiating with these companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much better of a price can you negotiate? Like, what kind of a price difference are you seeing when you are able to negotiate directly with the provider versus going through an insurance company?
Yeah, let me walk you real quick through how it looks like for a doctor to bill health insurance.
Okay.
So they have 3 billing people for every doctor. Okay, to bill health insurance.
Yeah.
The doctor spends about 30% of their time fighting with health insurance plans over pre-authorizations and things like that. Mm. And so imagine, you know, if you're an insurance person, you slap down your card, it's easy for you, but on the back end, it's really, really expensive.
Yeah.
But if you were to go in and say, hey, I'm just going to pay with a credit card, you get rid of all of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't need pre-authorizations. You don't need billing people.
Sure.
You pay 1.5% or something,
yeah,
for your credit card fee.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a long-winded way of saying we're getting about 50% better pricing on bills greater than $1,000.
Wow.
Than health insurance plans. Now, for bills less than $1,000, our members pay a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's because the health insurance plans hammer the little guys so much.
Sure.
And we're like, hey, good. Let's take care of those docs who,
yeah,
you know, the primary care docs.
Yeah.
And they'll spend a little bit more time with you too, if you're willing to pay them. So that's the way that we do that.
That makes a lot of sense from the doctor's perspective. Like, it seems to me like they would be more excited to work with you guys because you know, this is way less paperwork that they're having to do. It's way less of a headache,
totally,
of trying to chase down money. It allows them to do what they do, which is, mm-hmm, to be doctors. And so I can imagine that would be, you know, something that people would really enjoy.
Yeah. The number one reason right now in this country, we're going through a pretty significant doctor burnout.
Mm-hmm.
COVID was really hard on doctors.
Sure.
But now if you ask them, what is the reason why you're getting burned out? Health insurance is number one.
Sure.
So they're like, man, I'm getting it into medicine because I want to help people,
yeah,
and not the administrative,
yeah,
craziness that health insurance creates. And so when our members tell them that we're cash pay, they're actually like, whoa.
Yeah.
And we get doctors emailing us, calling us all the time, being like, hey, can you please put me in your database? Because I want more cash pay,
yeah,
you know, patients.
Yeah.
So the doctors love us.
That's
love
awesome.
Us.
So let me just put another situation. So, mm-hmm, for a lot of people, one of the most expensive, normal expenses that they'll have is having kids.
Yeah.
So what does it look like to have a kid? Does that just kind of run of the mill as far as like billing that out? And I mean, what does that look like?
Yeah. So, having kids, so, you know, and the example that I gave you, if you broke your arm, we asked you to pay the first $500 before we crowdfund the rest.
Sure.
And, pregnancy is typically broken down in 3 different health events. So it's prenatal. So it's, okay, all the prenatal visits. It's,
sure,
the, you know, OB visits,
yeah,
and ultrasounds and things like that. So that's one health event, which is, we'll ask you to pay the first $500 of that. The actual birth is the second health event, which we'll ask you to pay the first $500 of that. And then the first 6 months of the child's life is one health event. So we'll ask,
oh,
you,
wow,
to pay the first $500 of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a kid, it's like every week,
yeah,
it feels like
to the doctor,
back,
yeah,
to the doctor. So we ask you to pay the first $500 before we'll submit anything to the crowd for funding. So, assuming the crowd funds everything, and like I said, so far the crowd has funded every bill that we've given to them,
yep,
you'll pay $1,500 for that birth.
The birth.
Yeah. And there's no limitations in terms of, you know, funny, this is a crazy stat. About 1.4% of births in America are home births.
Mm-hmm.
Crowd health, any guesses?
I would guess maybe 20, 30.
50.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, it's that crazy. It's that crazy. But we have people who are like thinking outside of the box and knowing that the system is not built for them and they don't want to have a baby in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've had, you know, 50% so far of babies that are birthed at home. And they, you know, you can do whatever. You can get a doula, you can get a midwife, you can get all those things, and it's still way less than having a baby at the hospital.
And so are the doulas and midwives covered like by Crowd Health, or like is that part of
that's
it?
Counted as that health event.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you'll pay the first $500 before we'll submit the rest of the crowd to be crowdfunded.
Sure. Man, that's fantastic. Have there been any, I mean, just stories that stick out of people who've gone through this experience and kind of, I mean, maybe they were bigger events, bigger health events. I mean, I've gotten the emails, but any stories, maybe one or two stories that stick out to you?
Yeah, you know, to me, it's like, it's back to this love your neighbor, which I just love. And that's where my kind of faith comes into to what we're doing. It's missional for me. It really is. We had a girl, her name is Abby, in Tennessee, and she was 19. And she got her fingers cut off in a boating accident.
Oh, my
God. And it's actually there. The video is on our webpage. So joincrowdhealth.com. You can go look at it. But, you know, we sent this out to our members. It was a big bill, as you can probably imagine.
Yeah.
Sent it out to our members, and we told the story of what happened. And we had people, again, come back and say, how can I help her? Like, how can I love her well?
Yeah.
You know, can I give her more? Like, can we set up a college, you know, fund for her?
Holy,
I mean, it's like, again, it's like, you're not, it's a community.
Yeah.
And we're digital. It's a digital community. Yep. But, you know, our age, we're used to that. But they were willing to give more to this, this 19-year-old girl, because this, again, you're given directly to her as opposed to a corporation. We had the same thing with a woman who had a miscarriage.
Wow.
And you know, there's some bills associated with that because there's some complications, and we had women reach out and said, I've dealt with this. I know what this is like. I know what this woman is feeling. Like, how else can we help her? Can we give her, can we send her flowers? Can we give her more? Like, what can we do to love this member of our community really well?
Wow.
And it's like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy to me that people are willing to truly help people that they've never met before just based upon, one, the story, but two, being a member of the same community.
Yeah. And I think, again, it's so easy to just, we're constantly presented with, use this thing and it'll make your life easier. It'll take responsibility off of you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll assume that responsibility for you. And that is helpful to a point, but we were designed, like God designed us to take responsibility and designed us to find satisfaction, because one of the, and taking responsibility for other people, we're imitating him, right?
Yeah.
This is literally what Jesus did, is take responsibility for the needs of people who were not him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me that there would be satisfaction in that, but that it would be a little bit counterintuitive. You know, you're thinking, oh, wait, so this person is relying on me. And it's like, yeah, they are relying on you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not completely. It's not just you, but they are relying on you. And like, that's a very healthy way, you know, to live.
Yeah. And you know, we live in a culture that feels like it's, you know, it's super selfish and it's all about me. And even with health insurance, like a lot of people feel like health insurance is screwing them.
Yeah.
And so if you get hurt, you're going to try to extract as much value out of that as possible.
Yep.
Whereas for us, like, you feel like you're part of the community. We had this guy who had colon cancer.
That's the one I saw recently. It was a couple months ago or something.
Colon cancer. And he reached out to us. Man, it was like crazy. And he said, hey, I want to get really good care because I've got colon cancer. Like, I'm going to get this figured out. But he's like, I don't want to put an undue burden on the community.
Mm.
And so would you all walk through me with this and make sure that I, you know, my bills are all negotiated and I can go to, you know, a doctor that's not gonna, you know, try to gouge us and things like that. And I was like, dude, you have colon cancer and you're thinking about this community?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me.
That's awesome.
That's crazy. But like, I feel like you see Jesus through all some of these things, like, because that is countercultural.
Yeah.
Right. 100%. That is countercultural.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we're glorifying him and the stuff that we're doing.
Amen. I would imagine if there are so many home births, I would imagine there'd be some other, maybe, I don't know, about homeopathic interests or like outside interests and stuff like that. How does that work? If there's people who, you know, they have outside, maybe outside the box, other outside the box treatment options that they want to pursue. I know I have family friends who their brother had cancer and they went to some clinic in Mexico to cover. Does it have to be U.S. based or what does that look like?
No, I mean, it's like, look, it's between you and your doctor.
Okay.
You know, you do what you think is right and it's between you and your doctor and we'll trust you on that. Mm-hmm. And we have not had anybody do anything like super duper crazy or super expensive. That's kind of way outside. But we say, hey, look, if you want to do integrative or naturopathic or holistic or, you know, whatever to cure your illness, you know, that's between, we're not here to tell you what that is and what's not. We'll tell our community like, hey, this person is trying something holistic, naturopathic, more Eastern medicine like, and most of our community is like, heck yeah, give it a try.
Sure.
You know, give it a try. So we have, our community is fairly young.
Yeah.
Mid 30s.
Yep.
Which means we have lots of babies.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of face plants, you know, mountain biking face plants.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's like, it's active injuries and babies. And so every month we actually put out on Twitter, all our social media platforms and our newsletter. And we said, here's how, you know, all of the crowdfunding events.
Yeah.
And every time we get something back, it was like, yeah, babies, you know, like, yeah, active injuries. Like if you're going to go down hard or something like that. Yeah. So it's not a lot of illness. It's a lot of active injuries and babies, which most people are totally cool with paying.
Yeah, and I just want to maybe add some more info. So I know you said it's about 50%. You save about 50%. I've seen numerous things where, you know, you'll post like a graphic or something, and you're like, hey, it would have been $4,000, you know, if we had gone this way, and it was $1,000 because we did it this way.
Yeah.
I mean, so again, it's amazing how just when you're going directly to the source and you're not just, you know, letting two or three layers be between you and your care.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, you walk into the ER and it's $5,000.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of what you do, you're $5,000.
Yeah.
And I put one up recently. I think it was $5,000. We got it down to 400 or something like that. And it was like, a few stitches should not be $5,000.
It's insane.
Right. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, we negotiate those for you. And we have a team of attorneys, actually, that do that on your behalf. And so it's like, look, you know, you should not be strong-armed by big hospital systems. Let us help you. We'll put our attorneys on it. Write a letter to them saying you're price gouging.
Sure.
And usually it works pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Another question I would have. So I'm sure, again, Christian Bitcoin world, like you'd have people who are looking for other outside-the-box solutions. So what differentiates CrowdHealth from something like a Christian MediShare or one of those other Christian sharing programs? What is that?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, there's a bunch of little things. I mean, one of the things that's different is primary care. So, you know, allow you to crowdfund 100% of one wellness visit per year.
Cool.
So that could be a pediatrician, OBGYN, primary care, direct primary care, but also vision or dental.
Mm.
So you get to choose one of those. And so that's super helpful for, you know, families who, you know, feel like they're at the pediatrician all the time. So that's different. And then mechanically, you know, we're peer-to-peer, which, you know, the vast majority of health shares are not.
Yeah.
It goes into a pool of money.
Yeah.
They then divvy that money out. So it goes through a third party. It's centralized.
Yeah.
Ours is decentralized. It goes from Jordan to Andy or Andy to Jordan or whatever. It's a peer-to-peer funding. So that's that's very different. You know, a lot of them have maximums on how much they will fund.
Yeah.
We don't have any maximums. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you have $1 million NICU baby, like, we're going to fight for you on that. Yeah. And if it's, you know, if we can negotiate it down to 500, we'll submit that 500 for funding. If we negotiate it down to $1,000, we'll submit that $1,000 for funding. So there's none of that. And then the last thing I think that, you know, I've heard is oftentimes, you know, let's just say you tear your ACL. We actually had a ACL here in Austin playing pickleball.
Oh,
thanks.
Yeah.
Tore her ACL, went to the orthopedic surgeon. Orthopedic surgeon said it was $24,000.
No.
We got it down to $12,000, so half.
Holy
cow. Which I think is a pretty good price. Health shares oftentimes, not all of them, but most of them, force you to pay that $12,000 and then get reimbursed. So what we do is we say, okay, we know you're going to have an ACL surgery in a week. We'll crowdfund it starting today. It takes us about 3 days to crowdfund on average. And so we'll crowdfund that money before you get there so that you show up with the ability to pay at the point of care.
Wow.
And so that's a huge benefit. Sure. So, I mean, it's hard to come up with 12 grand.
Yeah.
You know, imagine it was 30 grand. Or
exactly. Yeah.
The last thing too, and we've heard this from a bunch of our vendors that also work with health shares, is they're like, you guys navigate your members way better than any of the other health shares.
Yeah.
Meaning like, we will help you. We take an active approach in helping you find a doctor that will be one high quality, but two lower cost.
Sure.
So this ACL tear, for example, went from 24 to 12 because we helped them on the back end, and health shares just aren't doing that. And so that's why their prices are higher than ours.
Yeah.
So we take a pretty active approach. And we don't have any, you know, behavior
modification
things. Like, things happen if you have a couple drinks and or something like that. So we don't, you know, ding you for some of those things.
Sure.
Lord knows I've had a couple drinks here and there. And, you know, if something bad happens, as not as a result of that, but just while you're, you know, a couple drinks in, like, I don't want to put you in a bankruptcy because you had a couple drinks.
Sure. Okay, so you mentioned vision and dental. What does that look like at this point? You said you can cover up to 100% of one, like, exam or something every year just to make sure you're okay. But then what is it, at this point, you guys... those kind of expenses aren't covered. Is there any roadmap to that?
Yeah, we'll submit one dental or vision visit up to $300.
Okay.
And that will typically cover, you know, any dental or vision. And then, you know, things that are bigger than that, like, I don't even know what the big dental or anything. First, let's start with vision because that's easier. Anytime that you go for anything to do with your eyes that's actually like medical, like those things are all
covered. Okay,
right, like glasses,
the eye or something.
Yeah, glasses and contacts and things like that. If you don't use your one wellness visit for that, then that's on you.
Okay,
for dental, if there's any procedures in the mouth that have to do directly with your teeth that are not a health event, those are also yours. So we don't fund those. So if you have a crown or a root canal or something like that. But those are all usually not that expensive.
Yeah.
And what we did is we looked at, you know, what are the dental insurers doing? And all of those plans are just not good.
Yeah.
Like,
they're
brutal.
Yeah. They're insane. The prices of them. And the other thing of like, with the dental, you have to wait a year in order to get on these plans.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, who's doing this? Like,
yeah.
It just
didn't make sense for us to try to add some of those things into it because it was just, it's too complex. And we're like, simplicity is one of our core values. Like, I just want to keep it simple for people. And the vast majority of what you're paying for when you get dental insurance is that one dental visit.
Sure.
Right. And so that's the way we went with that.
Are there other things within, I mean, are there things coming down the road, like your like features or just other things, I mean, scaling up bigger, like what is the next, you know, next 6 months or something look like for CrowdHealth?
Yeah, I mean, our big one right now is that we are hopefully January 1st going to launch a, for our Bitcoin community. So we've got a community of people who are Bitcoiners. They fund each other's health expenses. We're building a, where you can go P2P over Lightning. As opposed to, you know, over with dollars.
Yeah.
And so we're going to take the Bitcoin crowd and we're going to put them all on Lightning.
Okay.
And we think that's going to be huge. I mean, because one of my passions too has really become Bitcoin circularity, meaning, you know, me being able to help you, you being able to pay your doctor, and maybe you'll only be able to pay your doctor in Bitcoin 1% of the time for the first year, but we hope it becomes 3%, then 5%, then 10%. But we've got to be able, I mean, this is typically the second largest expense for families other than your other mortgage.
Yep.
And so it's like, if we can impact Bitcoin and within the healthcare space, which by the way, is the biggest industry on the planet, it's like $4.3 trillion we spend it every year, then I think we can go a long way of getting Bitcoin used more widely in other types of transactions. So we're going to do that starting in January, which is a lot of fun. But yeah, that's the big one. And then we have a couple other things. You know, as a part of CrowdHealth, you get access to unlimited talk therapy.
Okay.
So counselors.
Yep.
Virtually.
Wow.
So go on our app, just click, you know, virtual counselor, and we can hook you up with a counselor and you can talk to the counselor. Virtual urgent care, which is great.
Okay.
So my daughter fell off the bed, you know, 4, 5 or 6 months ago. Was talking gibberish. We were going to take her to the ER. And I was like, hold on, let's just get on the urgent care real quick.
Yeah.
got on the urgent care via video. The doctor talked to us and was like, listen, don't go to ER. Ask her these, I think it was three questions, three or five, I can't remember. Ask her these every 15 minutes for the hour. If she can answer them, then you're fine. If she can't answer them, go to the ER.
Yeah. Right?
And so we did that for an hour. She was fine. It was just a slight concussion.
Yeah.
It wasn't the end of the world, but we just saved probably $10,000.
Yeah.
And 5 hours in the ER and all these things. So like that's huge.
Yeah.
And that's all via our app.
Yeah.
And then the last one is virtual primary care.
Okay.
So if you're anything like me, I hate going to the doctor. So what I do is I use the virtual primary care to be my primary care doc.
Yep.
And so I talk to him, you know, once or twice a year. He orders me, you know, all the kind of labs that I need.
Sure.
It's super easy. If something comes up in the labs, we can have a conversation, but it's all virtual and, you know, I don't ever have to go to the doctor's office, which is great.
Yeah.
So those are other things that we're doing and we're upgrading those. We're getting better and better and better with all of those as we go. So we'll probably be upgrading those over the next 6 months, but, you know, right now they're good. We're trying to make them great.
Yeah. Can you kind of just go back a little bit, just unpacking Lightning. So, you know, just what are some of the benefits to physicians and to the customers themselves for using Lightning versus using the existing payment rails that exist?
Yeah. Transaction fees for one, like right now, transaction fees are like 3.5% or something like that with like ACHing to each other and ACHing the money to us and all these things. So transaction fees, that's the big one. And the other thing too, is what we're really trying to do is the Bitcoin crowd, has a lower expense than the normal crowd, than the normies.
Yep.
Right. And so we are breaking those out.
Yeah.
And the normies are going to be, see that the Bitcoin crowd is really healthy.
Yeah.
But to be in the Bitcoin crowd, I want to be able to require you to do something that only a Bitcoiner would do, which is do this over Lightning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if I can get the normies to look at this and say, man, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Like that's a way that I feel like I can orange pill some of our people to come over and be a part of the Bitcoin community and start getting in Lightning. And so, look, a part of this is just I'm a Bitcoiner. I want to see it more widely adopted. Yeah. And this is one way to do it. Yeah. And ultimately, I'd like the infrastructure to all be on Lightning
because
it's just way less expensive. Yes.
And that's the thing, like that's the big thing here is like, it's not just, oh, Andy wants to see his Bitcoin holdings go up. It's like, no, this is actually way more efficient of a system.
Yeah. It's way less expensive than the transaction fees and all that kind of stuff. And the regulatory stuff on the banking side and FDIC and all that kind of crap, like it's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Let's take that all over to the Lightning side, which is much more efficient.
I love it. And this has been an awesome conversation. I appreciate you. And again, appreciate your time. And again, I'm a happy customer. I look forward to being a customer for many more years.
Yeah, man. Thank you for the time. And if anybody's interested, joincrowdhealth.com is our website. I think we have a code, TGFB.
Use
TGFB.
Sure.
You'll be put in the Bitcoin community if you use that code. And then we're on, you know, all the Twitter and...
Yeah, what's the website? It's
joincrowdhealth.com is the website. Or you can go to crowdhealthbtc.com to do some more of our Bitcoin stuff.
Okay. And then where can people, just in closing, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, Twitter is probably the best place. That's the one where we are the most quirky. You'll see a lot of our fun stuff up on Twitter, but it's Join Crowd Health on Twitter, or Schoonover Andy is my personal one.
Awesome. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.